Today is John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, and we're just going to go verses 34 and 35. The Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Before we go, while you're getting that in your Bibles or whatever means that you have in which to pull up your Bible, want to certainly thank my nephew, Minister Samuel Champ, who came and preached for us last Sunday. Thank you for him being available, and he did an excellent job with the scripture he worked with. So I certainly thank him, and thank you all for allowing me and my wife just some time together that we got to celebrate our anniversary. Just that time with my wife is just special. And then with that being said, certainly those of you who sent us cards, anniversary cards, thank you, thank you, thank you. Cards, letters, phone calls, thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, you've had more than enough time to get to the gospel according to John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And if you haven't got there yet, let me suggest Bible study or even Sunday school. With those two venues, gives you an opportunity to page through the Bible and figure out where things are. All right. And it reads on this wise: a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, and that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one another. Again, the last verse: by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Let us go to God in prayer. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Thank you, Father God, that you have allowed us to go to bed and to rise up again to see a day which was not promised to us. Thank you, Father God, for a reasonable portion of health and strength. For all the things that are going on in the world, Father God, you have yet and still continue to preserve us. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you, Father God, that you put it in our heart. Lord, upon arising and upon you waking us up, Father God, that you put it in our hearts to come this way one more time to hear, thus saith the Lord. And so my prayer is, Father God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have for us this day. That you would not allow us just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers as well. I want to thank you, Father God. Lord, that you have given us this outlet that we can come and encourage one another, hear the word of God, and continue, Lord, to the ministries that you've called us to do. And then, Father God, my prayer for myself is that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, these and all other things I do pray in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we all do say, amen. And so for a few moments of the time that we have together, I just want to talk to you from the thought, the theme, the idea of a new commandment. The new commandment. Those of you who have been faithfully following New Beginning Christian Fellowship Church on Wednesdays during our midday Bible study. And our Bible study is at 2 p.m. And certainly if you're visiting with us, you're welcome to come on with us and study with us. And as we've been studying, we have been studying the first epistle of John. And so as we have said, as we have always said, that it's just easier to understand the epistles of John after you have read through or gone through the gospel according to John. There's just some things that are made manifest in the gospel according to John that he hints at or makes reference to in his first epistle, and certainly the second and the third as well. But the reason why we are where we are today, the reason why that the Holy Spirit has caused me to come and make our way back into John is because of what we did cover in our Bible study on Wednesday. And if you would recall on the Bible study on Wednesday, we go through chapter and verse through whatever it is that we're studying. And again, at this time, we're studying the first epistle of John. And so from the first chapter, and we're going to work our way all the way through to the fifth chapter and then into the second and third epistles of John. And so while we're in those epistles, I have let you know that it is my intention to kind of buttress our teaching with our preaching. And so with that being said, there was an issue, not an issue, but there was a question in regards to what John writes in regards to our commandment or our love for one another. Matter of fact, he says in the 23rd verse of the third chapter, John writes this, that this is his commandment, his being Jesus, Jesus's commandment, that we believe on the name of the Son of on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ, and then love one another just as he commands us. And so as we were covering that verse, there was a question that was brought up, and I'm going to go ahead and give Brother House his props because he was the one that brought up the question. And the question that he brought up was this, is that does this new commandment supersede this the old Ten Commandments? What is its nature in regards to the Ten? And so my answer to his question is where we are today in the Gospel according to John. Here in chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35, we find that John quotes Jesus. And what he quotes Jesus is that answer to the question. And so let's kind of spend the time in terms of diving into these two verses. Jesus also goes back in the 15th chapter, according to the Gospel according to John, and elaborates a little bit more. But just for our purposes today, just so that we have the opportunity to talk about this new command that Jesus gives us, we find ourselves in the 35th, the 34th, and the 35th verse. And so in case you forget what my sermon, the rest of the sermon, let me give you this point. And the point of the sermon is this, is that Jesus's new command is inclusive of the Ten Commandments while acknowledging a people with a new condition. Jesus's new command is inclusive of the Ten Commandments while acknowledging a people with a new condition. And so, preacher, what exactly does that mean? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because my first point is this, is that the new command is inclusive. Can I just take the time to kind of walk you through John's answer and then kind of support it with an observation given to us by Paul? Jesus says, or he says, that a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. Now, Jesus's command is by no means does it dismiss or do away with those Ten Commandments. In fact, what it now does, it now binds those Ten Commandments as a whole to a new group of people. What do I mean by that? No, we know are no longer under the law because Jesus's act on Calvary, because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we are no longer under the law because Jesus has fulfilled the law. And because Jesus has fulfilled the law, he has imputed or he has given us his righteousness so that I am no longer under the law, but I am under Christ. And because I am under Christ, that which he has called for me to do, which is this new commandment, is inclusive of those Ten Commandments. Well, I don't see that, preacher. Well, hold on. I think that I was going to have to need a witness anyway. So let me call Paul. You know, Paul, who used to be Saul. You know, Paul, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees. That same Paul who studied under Gamaliel. That same Paul who has written to us in Romans chapter 13. And he gives us verses 8 through 10. And verses 8 through 10 say this. They say, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. What law is he talking about? He's talking about the law given by Moses. For this, in verse 9, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love, verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is fulfillment of the law. In other words, we were not given the Ten Commandments because of our through our bloodline, but because of our faith. Not through Israel, but we are children of Abraham. The Ten Commandments came from God to the man Moses, but through the lineage of Israel. This new commandment that we have received from the God-man, Jesus. When I say God-man, I mean that Jesus is all God as he was all man. And so when he gives us this new commandment, the Son of Man, the Son of God, God himself, who we have received through faith, and those who have received him through faith, through Jesus Christ, are the children of Abraham. All right then, because we have received this, we now fulfill the new commandment. To fulfill the new commandment, I automatically fulfill the law of Moses. I fulfill the Ten Commandments through the new command, because the new command is inclusive of the Ten Commandments. It's also inclusive of a new group of people. What do you mean it's inclusive of a new group of people? Well, here in my second point is this: the new command implies a new condition. Jesus says, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. The condition that Jesus places on the disciples is one of observation, as John has put in the epistle, in terms of the outworking of love. What you've seen me do, or what I have yet to do, I need you to do that. In other words, Jesus doesn't say, okay, even if you can't read the Old Testament, or you don't have access to it, you're not under that lineage, you were not given those oracles, those oracles of God were given to the children of Israel, you are under a new command, and this new command includes all that came before. And what are you saying, Jesus? Jesus is saying that if you simply love, you will not want to kill your neighbor. You will not want to commit adultery. You will not want to covet. All those things that the Ten Commandments said that you shall not do, you will not do because of the love that you have for Christ. And so that is the new calling, or the new commandment that Jesus has for those who have a new condition. Because you realize that when you do receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, when you do believe in your heart, when you do confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, when you do confess that Jesus died and rose again, if you do confess that his death, his burial, and his resurrection is sufficient for the remission of your sins, you become a new creature. All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And because you have become new, you have a new master. You've gone from darkness into the marvelous light. You were once a child of Satan, but now you're a child of the Most High God. And because you are a child of the Most High God, there are some things that you must do as one of his children. Can I just put a pin here real quick? Growing up, my kids, when they grew up in my house, there were only certain things that my kids were, number one, privileged to. But not only did they have privileges, but there were expectations, and there still are expectations. I don't care how big or how old they get, there's still expectations in my household. So when you come into my household and you're my children, yes, you have access to the refrigerator. Yes, you have access to the pantry. Yes, you have access to one of the beds. Yes, you have access to my TV. And you get access to these things because you are my children. But as a result of being my children, there are some responsibilities that go along with that. There are some responsibilities. I expect that the trash go out. I expect that the dishes get washed. I expect that when time comes to clean the yard, that the yard gets clean. I expect that the cans go to the front so that way the trash man, when he comes by, he can pick up the cans and pick up the trash. There's an expectation that if you're in the house, that you're going to do some work towards the house. That if you're in the house, that there's an expectation that you're going to help fill the larders in the house. And the same is true for the child of God. That it, yes, there are some things that you get, some rights that you have as a child of God. As a child of God, God gives you the authority to call upon his name, that you can say, Father, that you can call him Father, but not only call him Father, but then God will then incline his ear. He will hear your prayer. He'll move on your behalf. Yes, that is a privilege that you have as a child of God, but then there are some responsibilities that you have as a child of God. You have a responsibility to live right. You have a responsibility to talk right. You have a responsibility to share the gospel. You have a responsibility to go out in the world and act like Jesus is your Savior and God is your Father and the Holy Spirit resides within you. You have a responsibility in addition to all the privileges that you have. There is privileges that come along with being a child of God. But not only are there privileges, but then there is that outworking. And that's where we were when we were studying of the epistle and the 23rd verse in the third chapter of the first epistle of John. We talked about the outworking of love that challenges us to look at the state of our hearts. That outworking of love that tells us that we have the obligation to share the things that the world has given us with our brothers and sisters in Christ. That obligation that even as Jesus gave his life so that we might be saved, we have an obligation to give our lives for our brothers and our sisters. I know somebody is sitting there, they're going, you know what, preacher, that's fine, that's good, but I don't know if I'm ready to get there just yet. But if you're going to work out love, if you're going to live under this new commandment requires that you don't just keep the 10, but that you keep this one. And if you keep this one, you'll automatically keep the other 10. And that commandment that Jesus says, what you've seen me do, I'm requiring of you. You may not be there yet, I understand, but you have to realize that there is a measuring stick. That, as we talked about last time I came before you when we were talking about mastering sin, and then one of those things that we talked about with mastering sin, we said that what Jesus would evaluate us. Jesus would evaluate us. And so we know these things, and I'm sorry that I've already told you this because now you're responsible for it, that you are responsible for this new commandment, for this outworking of love. Not only is this new command inclusive, not only is this new command imply a new condition, but then this new command is observable. This new command is observable. It is by our living out the command to love one another that those who are outside the ark of safety, those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, those who have yet to confess Jesus, those who have yet to taste and see, those who are out there, maybe possibly under the sound of my voice and do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I can understand what their biggest obstacle is. And the biggest obstacle to many individuals who have not received Jesus Christ are other Christians. I didn't stutter. The biggest obstacle for other individuals who are not saved to become saved It is the way that other Christians act. And isn't it a shame that Jesus has to tell us to love one another? You know, it's interesting, and it's true, I believe, in every sense of the world. If we look at small children, if we look at babies, you don't have to teach a baby how to be selfish. Because one of the first words that'll come out the mouth of a child, out of a toddler, out of a baby, is the word no and mine. No and mine. And so we have to teach them how to love, don't we? We would take them by the hand. I remember a small child that was in our household, and to teach them how to be nice and to be kind, we would take their little hand and we would rub it against our face, and we say, soft, soft, nice, nice. And so through that constant, this is how, and you know what? You have to teach children how to say please and thank you. Matter of fact, not even children. Matter of fact, some adults, nobody who's listening, right? But some adults, we have to teach them how to say please and thank you. Why? Because for whatever reason, that love and please and thank you is a simple thing. But please and thank you will get you a long way, especially with people who don't know you. And my point to you is this, is that if you are a Christian, maybe the reason why we haven't seen more individuals make a commitment to Christ might very well be because of the way that you live, because of the actions that you take, because of the things that you have said, because of the people you have run away. Nobody here. I'm not dropping any names. All I'm saying is that God has a way, His word has a way of making us look at ourselves and say, you know what? I dropped the ball here and I need to step up and do better. Just like we said the last time we were together, that every failure is not a sin, but every sin is a failure. And so where you know where you've come up short, we ought to take the time to realize this is where I've come up short. But praise be unto God, we can always go to Him and ask Him to forgive us where we have come up short. And don't you know, He has given us another day. If you are under the sound of my voice and the blood is still running warm through your veins and you can hear what I'm saying, He's given you another chance to work out this new commandment in your life. You may not necessarily have to give up your life to save a life, but you know what? God is asking us to simply share what we have with those who don't have. Matter of fact, share what you have with your brothers and your sisters. Isn't that something? I can honestly say that the most hurt that I have ever received hasn't been by people who are outside the church, but from people who are in the church who have hurt me and crushed me. But praise be unto God. My hope is not built on nothing less but Jesus's blood and His righteousness. Heaven help me if I was ever waiting on a man or a woman to get right so that I could get right. But I praise be unto God that Jesus came into my life, that Jesus died on Calvary's cross for all of our sins, not just mine, but He died for yours as well. And you can take advantage of that free gift if you would simply what? Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says you shall be saved. There's nothing more than you must do. There's nowhere else that you must go. You just must simply believe that Jesus was sent by God to die for your sins on Calvary, that He rose again in 3 days' time, and that upon Him rising for our sins, He has imputed to those who believe on the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, He has given them salvation. Salvation from what? I'm glad you asked. Don't you know that there will come a time and a day that you will have to stand before this same Jesus, the same Jesus who was hung high and stretched wide, this same Jesus who hung His head and then He died, this same Jesus who was placed in a borrowed tomb, this same Jesus who after 3 days' time came up out of that tomb and now sits on the right hand of the Father. And one fine day, when the trumpet shall sound, We all must stand before that same Jesus and give an account as to why we did or did not receive his free gift. All I'm doing today is giving you an opportunity to let you know that the love of Jesus Christ is now being extended unto you, whomsoever will. Be obedient to the word of God. There is a songwriter, and the songwriter says this: we are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know that we are Christians by our love, by our love. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Can I extend to you the love that Jesus has for you? And the best way that I can do that for you is to ask you to say this prayer with me. Be so good and kind enough to do so. Father God, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Holy Spirit, come into my life and make me the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer with me and you believed on, in fact, what you said, the Bible says that you are saved. There's nothing more than you must do. Simply believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you received his free gift of salvation, that he's wiped clean all the sins that you've ever done, and that he'll receive you into his kingdom. Now, let me say this, because a good friend of mine reminded me and said, well, you give out the invitation, but you never tell the people what they need to do next. This is what you need to do next. If you said that prayer and it was your very first time saying that prayer, I want to ask you to do this. Behind me is a blog post, and it's preachermanstan.com. But in addition to that, there's also a website, nbcfc.org. And on either one of those sites, there's a way that you can reach out and contact a New Beginning Christian Fellowship Church, or you can contact me directly through preachermanstan.com. Either way, please, ma'am, please, sir, don't let this momentous occasion go without letting someone know. The Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice when one comes to Christ. However, we who are on the earth don't know. And the only way that we can be of any help to you, the only way that we can show you that love that has been commanded us to give unto you, is that you let us know that I'm your brother and I'm your sister. And so I'm asking you, please, ma'am, please, sir, don't stay anonymous. Reach out. Let us know that you have made this momentous decision. It is the most momentous decision you will ever make in your life. All right. With that being said, I've prayed with you. I've given you the plea. And now I'm going to give you a prayer. And I'm going to ask that God continue to bless you and keep you. Father God, we come now in the mighty name of Jesus, asking, Lord, that you would bless those who have heard the word of God, that they will move in such a way, Father God, that they would be obedient to the word, to those who are outside the ark of safety, to those who do not know you in the pardon of their sins. Lord, let your word find a lodging place in their heart. Let it produce fruit. Let them come forward and say, what must I do to be saved? Then, Lord, for those who already know you in the pardon of their sin, they're already children of God. Lord, let them go forth and carry out the new commandment that Jesus has given unto us. And we ask and pray, Father God, that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us courage, that you would give us the opportunity to show love, not just to the outside world, but Lord, your command was that we ought to love one another. Why? So that all might know that we are your disciples, that we are your children, and that we are of you. Now, Father God, I ask that you bless and touch each and every soul that is under the sound of my voice. Lord, let them not rest until they make a decision for Christ. Now, these and all other things we ask and pray in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we all do say, amen, amen.